This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and it is time now for the NFL News of the Day with your NFL host, Zach Wolchuk.
Yeah, we'll talk with Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, coming up on the other side, who is in Orlando. He's been at the owners' meetings. He was at the table when Mike McCarthy was talking about, yeah, man, we're going to have home growth here. We're all right. Roster's okay. Who needs free agency? Our second and third year players, they're going to take another jump. We like our guys, and we'll talk with Nick about what else stands out to him. Big news, though, with some new rule changes and the NFL announcing that they're moving back the trade deadline, and they're also going to go ahead and expand replay assist. So they announced that the trade deadline is going to go back to after week 9, and they authorize a significant expansion to the league's replay assist program. 3 penalty categories: intentional grounding, roughing the passer, and hits out of bounds were added to the list of plays that replay assist can advise officials on. In addition, they also agreed to allow teams to use a practice squad player as their emergency number 3 quarterback on game days after requiring that player has to be an existing member of the 53-man roster. So, all in all, I like those moves, and I like moving back the deadline a little bit. I think that's good.
Yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. We asked Stephen Jones about that last year because he's on the competition committee, and he was kind of interested in the idea, and I think we just teed up to him like the quarterback position because of the team like the Browns who were suffering so many quarterback injuries, and like would it be cool to be able to push the deadline on trading quarterbacks a little bit later on into the season because that position matters so much, but they're just moving everything back a week, and I think that's cool. Definitely.
I agree. I think that's awesome. And I think that's good. It's probably good for guys in the personnel department there, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything, we're excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, anything that you could do. Now, what they probably were worried about was that teams just quitting.
Yeah.
You know, that teams quitting, and all of a sudden you
just
have
give up your players.
You just start giving up your players. You know, that and now you're in week 10, and you've got, what, 6 more weeks to go, yeah, and non-competitive football.
Here's Carolina with a fire sale.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the thing they were.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's what they're worried about.
Speaking of Carolina, there's reports out of Charlotte that they have reached out to Stephon Gilmore about returning and playing there with the Panthers. So Stephon Gilmore generating some interest on the open market. Who knows if he'll be back with the Cowboys, but there's one of his former teams that would like him back and would love his services. We mentioned in the open, NFL owners passed a new hybrid kickoff rule at the annual league meeting. This will be interesting. Move is going to basically feature, you know, kickoffs are going to remain at the 35-yard line. Remaining 10 players on the kicking unit will line up at the opposing team's 40. The receiving team lines up at least 7 players in the setup zone, a 5-yard area between their own 35 and the 30-yard lines, with a maximum of 2 returners can line up in the landing zone. Once the ball's kicked, the kicker cannot cross the 50-yard line, and the 10 kicking team players cannot move until the ball hits the ground or a player in the landing zone or goes into the end zone. So Bones Fossil was there for the Cowboys. He was one of the top 2 special teams coaches that were talking about this rule. He thinks it's going to make the returners much more valuable. So for Kamonte Turpin, this might be a great thing. I think we'll just have to wait and see how it all unfolds and how teams want to go ahead, okay, and you know, use their strategy about it.
Is the ball, I'd say it was the ball in the 30. Is it on the 35?
I think they bring it out to the 35.
Are they bringing it 35? Because yeah. I was hearing that they were going back and forth on that between the 30 and the 35.
They decided the 35.
Oh, there you go.
According to NFL.com.
There you go. I like it.
We also have the Hall of Fame game. It's going to be Bears-Texans. That's going to kick off the annual preseason opener in Canton. So that could very well feature last year's drafted second overall quarterback that was a phenom in C.J. Stroud and possibly Caleb Williams, assuming he does go number one overall to the Chicago Bears. That could be exciting for your Canton kickoff game there for the preseason.
Chance he plays in that game?
I think maybe a series.
We'll see.
I can't remember what they did last year with the rookies, like Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, there's just like this gut feeling that he probably won't play that first game.
Maybe he won't. I mean, maybe they'll put in bubble wrap and they'll wait. Yeah. But at least they tweak the preseason so it's not quite as long. Yeah. We also have new Hard Knocks rules. So this is going to open up some more teams to be part of this thing. Now, not only will there be four teams on the in-season show, but there will also still be a team on the preseason version of the show. The NFL has had some trouble finding a volunteer team over the past 3 years, so the league has changed the qualifications for the rules. Under the new rules, you don't have to be part of the show if you have a first-year head coach in place, or they're participating in the in-season show during the upcoming year or the following season. You also don't have to if you've appeared on Hard Knocks in the past 8 years. That's down from being in the past 10 years, which is what it was. So they've opened it up to where hopefully more teams can be a part of this thing. I think that's interesting. They want to do four teams in season. Now, I like the in-season Hard Knocks. The Dolphins was a lot of fun. But four teams now on the in-season show when you were struggling to find anybody that wants to do it preseason. That's a lot.
Yeah, I don't know how you incentivize to get this, continuing, but it's clear they're having to lower their standards and, you know, open it up to more possible teams. And I think more teams are doing their own version on their website. So, you know, I think maybe pay more, but it's clear this is some of the best content that you can get. And if I'm a team, I really don't want the distraction from external sources, especially now we can do one. We can put it on our own website. We can get our own sponsors. We don't have to share this with HBO or Amazon or anybody.
I'm giving you a third round pick if you want to come on.
The show?
Yeah. I'm giving you a third round of the league.
Ooh, you think maybe that will go to that?
Yeah.
We'll do draft compensation.
Back there when you get draft, you get the earliest compensation you could get on a compensatory is third round.
Makes sense.
If you want to come on the show, I'm giving you a third round pick at the end of the round. You in or out?
I'm in every time. Sign me up for the next decade.
Yeah, I'm down.
You're down? How about you, Dawson?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I think at that point there's a massive competitive advantage. We could get a Hall of Fame player with that.
That's
pick.
What I'm saying. Yeah. You know, okay, you don't want to be on the show. It's inconvenient. Trust me, I went through two of them. It's a pain in the ass. But
that's good compensation.
If you told me I could get the 96th player on my board,
yeah, that's worth the ass pain that you were just describing.
Yeah, I'm all about it. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go. Onside kicks, by the way, they did change that rule. They're allowed to do the staggered formations. You can line up six on one side, four on the other, but they have to declare that they are doing the onside kick. So they got away from the surprise, which I don't love. I thought the surprise onside kick was fun, and I'll never forget Randall Williams just picking that one off in the air, returning it for a touchdown when Andy Reid tried to do it again to the Cowboys at Texas Stadium. It worked in the pickle juice game.
It did not work
when you circled back. And now Randall Williams, I think that was a 3-second touchdown.
Yeah, Randall, he hit it on the hop and was gone. But yeah, Andy Reid did. Yeah, that was the Joey Galloway game there. He got hurt. That was the end of us.
Deuce Staley running for over 200 yards. That was a pain in the butt.
The coolest thing here, though, is that they've ripped the Band-Aid off of a boring, broken play, and now they're going to be brainstorming it. Eventually, we're going to get very exciting kickoffs back.
I hope so. I hope that this ends up being a plus for the league, but we won't get any surprise second-half Super Bowl kick, onside kick, and that play will always be historical there for Sean Payton and the Saints. NFL is going to play two games on Christmas Day. Now, I don't think that's a shocker, but it is because it's on a Wednesday. Mm. We're going to get hump day football. So the NFL games on Christmas Day will remain. And the NFL just saying, ha ha, sorry about you, NBA. You thought you had your own day. Not anymore. We don't care what day of the week it is. we're playing football.
They saw those ratings even for the Jets and the Dolphins,
yeah,
right?
They
when
did.
That something about when
they
that,
played three games that last
was Black
year.
Black Friday, I think.
It was that was the Black Friday game.
Yeah,
that's
that was.
Right.
Yeah. That was Black Friday. They played Ravens, 49ers.
Oh, that's right. Three games. That Bronc, night.
Or yeah, they yeah. had Chiefs and Raiders.
Giants, Eagles, and yeah, Chiefs and Raiders.
All those
matchups
games
were played on Monday.
Weren't they all pretty good games, if I remember too? Like the I think the
well,
Ravens
kind of
blew
Ravens
out San Fran.
But the Raiders beat the Chiefs that day.
That's right.
That was wild.
That was wild. And yeah. Giants-Eagles, I think the Giants made it close there at the end. So they're excited. That's going to be fun. I can't wait for that one.
Right upside the NBA's head, though.
They did. I mean, they don't care.
It's one thing if it falls on like a Monday or a Friday but this is doing maximum inconvenience to your teams to dunk all over the NBA. Yeah.
Yeah, they also don't care about our respective, you know, marriages and whatnot. They definitely didn't care about the wives when they made this decision,
no,
right?
Like,
not at all. So yeah. Sorry
Help
about
me
that
out
honey.
Over here.
Hey, honey, don't blame me. Don't blame me. You blame Roger. Okay, you send that hate mail to Goodell. All right, it's not my fault I have to sit on the couch on Christmas Day. Hey. I know it's Wednesday. I get it. I understand your frustrations because 48 hours ago I was snorting Scott Hansen for 12 hours on a football Sunday. But here we are, honey.
No again, more basketball, honey.
Yeah,
we're just gonna watch
to
football
Roger
again.
Goodell.
Yes.
Another dozen sugarcoats. This is not my fault. Yeah. Yes, and where are those cookies at?
Any more turkey? Do we have any more turkey? The NFL has announced two exclusive streaming games as well for the 2024 season, including one postseason game. So, week one is going to be a Peacock game. That's going to be the Brazil matchup, which is a Friday, September 6th.
Browns and Eagles?
Which will be Eagles and supposedly the Browns, although that's not confirmed, but a Browns player did say that's happening. In addition, Prime Video, which is already the home of Thursday Night Football, will stream a wild card game this season. So that's the second year in a row. Peacock got it last year. Now Prime Video is going to get it this year.
You can't send Cleveland to Brazil. Deshaun Watson can't be trusted out there.
Who knows if he's even going to play? Maybe they just keep him home.
Health-wise?
Yeah.
He was dealing with an injury of sorts?
Yeah.
I can't remember how serious it was, though. I remember he was out, but I don't remember what the actual injury is for Deshaun Watson.
Hamstring, can't travel with the team. We just rule them out.
Gotcha.
We'll get you back for week 2.
Fair enough.
But I don't know if it's one that's going to really linger into next year, but it could be.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah, you just can't. You can't. No. He's going to have babysitters out there in Brazil.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he's going to have a lot of people watching after him out there in Brazil. I'm sure the Browns have quite the support staff for him, ready to go.
Otani's interpreter's looking for a gig.
Yeah, he is. Hey, can you come babysit Deshaun if you don't mind?
How's he with his hands is the question.
That's a good point.
Well, Deshaun will let us know.
Obviously knows how to work the bank account thing.
Okay, this was great. Sean Payton's asked at the NFL owners meetings if he has any regrets with Russell Wilson and how much he's being paid. And here is the exchange with Sean Payton. You tell me if you think he has any regrets.
Was it difficult with Russ knowing that the dead cap consequences were so severe to make that decision to let him go?
No.
No hesitation. Just no.
Nope.
No. Absolutely not. It was fine. And then today we got pictures of Russell Wilson in the weight room with sunglasses on, lifting weights. Good for you, Russ.
Yeah.
He's pumping out that social media gold. Now, he was wearing an old school Steelers t-shirt that had some of the greatest players in the history of Steeler Nation.
Isn't he doing the thing where after every rep, like he's bench pressing and then he does the here we go after every bench rep?
It's possible. I wouldn't put it past him. I did not see a video of it. I just saw the picture. But that sounds very Russell Wilson.
It's just so weird for a nerd to flex that hard, you know? Just like be a nerd, man. It's okay. Accept it, you know? You got the pop star wife. She doesn't mind. You know, she knows you're a nerd. It's okay.
She does. She's got you. You're not hiding from anybody.
No.
Then we had Robert Kraft, who let us know, okay, they did indeed want to match the Calvin Ridley offer. They wanted them some Calvin Ridley. Instead, he ended up taking his talents elsewhere in the AFC, leaving Jacksonville and going to the Titans. Well, Robert Kraft at the owners' meeting said, okay, well, what was the deal? This is NBC Sports Boston with Robert Kraft talking about why Calvin Ridley decided not to play New England.
We pursued the people we wanted in free agency. There was, you know, one outstanding receiver that unfortunately we couldn't close. It was not because of finance.
Finance.
It was made clearly his girlfriend wanted to be in the South, and we had a situation where the taxes were like almost 10% higher, and we offered or were willing to keep going to, at that premium, but he didn't want to be in the Northeast, and part of it might be the quarterback situation as well.
Blame the girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
And then, quarterback. then he gets the honesty about the quarterback.
That's the real.
But at first, like, well, he made it clear the girlfriend didn't want to be, she wanted to stay in the South.
Okay, girlfriend, taxes, and the quarterback situation.
But really, it's the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
I don't know who the hell's throwing me the football. I don't know if Will Levis is any good, but hey, DeAndre Hopkins had a decent year last year with him. Maybe I can get some play.
Yeah.
I think that's understandable.
That's a trifecta of suck is what that sounds like to me. We got to go, honey.
Yeah, we do.
It's too damn cold up here.
We also did get news on the mega contract of L'Jarius Sneed. 4 years, $76.4 million, includes $55 million guaranteed and a $20 million signing bonus. So the Titans out here just giving up the bag for L'Jarius Sneed. Really didn't have to give up much compensation for him. Last two items, Cordero Patterson will be signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So there was another veteran running back that maybe you could have pursued. And the Saints are preparing for the real possibility that offensive tackle Ryan Ramczyk is medically not able to play this season, according to Dennis Allen. His knee is not responding as they hoped, and it's unclear when or if it will. So the Saints could be in another team that's drafting ahead of the Cowboys that could be looking at the offensive tackle market in the draft.
Well, thank you, Wolchuk. Rangers and Red Sox battling out at the Globe in some final exhibition action. Both Sox leading 2-1 now in the sixth inning. Two teams linked to Jordan Montgomery. No sighting. I keep looking for him. If I was him, I'd be hanging out, you know, waiting for that big deal so I can just jump on a bus or head into the clubhouse, one of the two. Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, is live from the owners' meetings. He has a mock draft up. Do we have any hope the Cowboys could do something else in free agency? We'll ask Nick that and more next right here in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon to you, Nick. How you doing this afternoon?
Man, cannot complain. I will say it is a beautiful day for my girlfriend to want to be in the South, so I don't have to deal with contract negotiations.
It is beautiful, man, and thanks for checking out the show. Now, what's the buzz in Orlando today? Is it about the new kickoff rule?
Yeah, well, most definitely. That was probably the biggest buzz to come out of this week. Was able to catch up with Cowboys special teams coordinator John Fossil, who has been a big proponent of this change since it was starting to get talked about last year. Had a lengthy discussion with him yesterday. It's up on the Dallas Cowboys YouTube, just talking about what this rule looks like, but also how it helps the game and helps that kickoff play be more competitive, but at the same time still keep the health reserved for the players. And everyone feels like this is a healthy alternative to be able to reinstate the kickoff, and you know, not necessarily as a ceremonial play anymore. I mean, they looked back on that Super Bowl and saw all touchbacks, and I think that was a really big point that they saw, and they want to be able to bring that play back to the game. Definitely one of the bigger rule changes of the week. There were a few more, but I think that's a significant one. John Fossil compared it to the two-point conversion and moving the goalpost back from the goal line to behind the end zone. He thinks it's that transformational. We'll see as time goes on, but it's definitely a big point.
Nick, I know you got to sit there and chat with Mike McCarthy. What were some of the things that stood out to you from what Coach had to say?
Yeah, Tyler Smith has been kind of an interesting talking point this week as far as what does the team view him going into the draft. And I think depending on who you talk to, you might get a different answer, which I think is actually a good thing to have because you have versatility in a guy to where some people in the building believe he'll be stronger at a certain position and other people feel he'll be stronger at a different position. I think if he was limited to, let's just say, left guard, that kind of limits them as far as what they can do in the draft. So if they're going into the draft next April with the idea in mind that they can draft either a tackle or an interior guy in the first round and still be comfortable with what they do with Tyler Smith, that's obviously going to really help at the end of the day. Mike McCarthy talked today about Tyler Smith playing at left guard, and as of right now, that's the plan. You know, we look at this tackle class here in the first round. I know we've talked about it quite a bit on the draft show, Zach and Brian. There's a really good opportunity there at 24 to probably grab a pretty solid tackle, but also at the same time, you could grab an interior guy and kick Tyler Smith out to tackle and see how that works for the long-term future. That was one of the bigger points addressed by Mike McCarthy today. And then also just talking about this defensive scheme, what it might look like under Mike Zimmer. He has spent a lot of time with Zimmer since he arrived in Dallas, just constructing what exactly he'll look like, talking about bigger bodies, three linebackers on early downs, being able to bring back the physical nature of the defense, which, you know, it's not to necessarily say that Dan Quinn wasn't trying to bring that. That just wasn't the product that we saw last year. And I think there's going to be a big emphasis this offseason in being able to bring that back and reinstate that. Eric Kendricks was a big part of that, but they still have a lot of work to do, in my opinion, to be able to beef up that side of the ball, add a couple of more bodies at that defensive tackle position, and then go from there.
Nick, it appears guys like Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter are saying that the Cowboys are on a clear path for Dak to test free agency next offseason. What do you make of that, and are you hearing the same things?
Yeah, I was able to talk to some team officials whenever that news started to break, and they were more so taking that with a grain of salt. Someone I spoke to said it's not a pressurized situation for either at this point, that there's just not a ton of urgency on getting the deal done, but that the door remains open to getting it done either before the season starts or after the season starts while it's going on. There's not really a ton of urgency. Dak Prescott just welcomed in a new child, hasn't been in the facility that much since that happened. Obviously, ownership has had a lot going on with being at Combine, being at owners' meetings, things of that nature. Not to say that they have to meet face-to-face to get a deal like this done, but it's not a pressurized situation. There's not a lot of urgency right now at the moment to get that deal done. In my opinion, I think this is a negotiation that leads all the way up until, you know, the middle of the season. And if there's not a deal done by then, that's probably when I would start taking it seriously that, you know, he might actually test free agency. But if you're asking me personally, I'm not taking that seriously until probably November.
Is that something, is that just a thought, or is that something that you're kind of gathering, talking to people there, Nick?
Yeah, a little bit of both. You know, context always plays into my thoughts a little bit.
Sure.
So I would say the conversations for sure. But, you know, Dak wants to be in Dallas. The Cowboys want him to be in Dallas. I don't think that there's any secret to either of those points. Sure, he has probably dealt with a lot of flack outside of the building over the course of the last, you know, seven seasons. But from the people that you talk to inside and whenever you talk to Dak Prescott inside, there's certain things you say whenever, you know, a contract extension negotiation starts coming up. You can either go, hey, yeah, I'd really like to be in this building. It's a really cool place to be. Or it's a, I want to be a Cowboy for life. And that was always the rhetoric that we got from Dak Prescott, is that he wants to be able to finish his career out in Dallas. I don't feel anything different from the front office. I think eventually they do get a deal done here.
Nick, is the head coach just towing the company line about, you know, about not being in free agency and the young guys and all that stuff? Is he selling the hopium too about the players and stuff? Or, you know, when you get him off on the side, is he like, man, we're cooked here? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm going to have to toe the company line here, Brian, but yeah. No, seriously. I think there is.
Nick, you don't have to toe the company line.
Absolutely.
It'll lead to another career, but you know, you'll be all right. Don't worry about it.
I think there is confidence from Mike McCarthy in the youth that is on this team. But I don't think anybody could have told you with a straight face that, you know, seeing the starters that walked out of that door, that you could say that that was a good thing. I don't think that's the case at all. I think there is just, you know, a little bit more hope than people might believe in that young core. And when I talk about that young core, I talk about Jalen Tolbert. I talk about Sam Williams, DeMar being overshown. Mozzie Smith was a really big topic today. He had offseason shoulder surgery, which is going to be an interesting topic whenever you talk about his development going into year two after a year one that heavily underestimated expectations. So there's still a lot of trust in that 2023 draft class, despite what they were able to put on the field last year. And then whenever you factor in the 2022, 2021 draft classes, he feels like there's going to be more opportunities for those second, third, and fourth-year players going forward.
So what is the timeline for Mozzie and Scooney? I mean, Scooney missed quite a lot of the mini camps last year dealing with that plantar fasciitis on the foot. And now, as you mentioned, I mean, Mozzie, they're trying to put weight on him. Mike Zimmer might have a new role for him. I mean, how can this impact both of those guys going into year two, in which coach said they need a jump from these guys?
Yeah, absolutely. My early conversations since we learned this news this morning is that Mozzie Smith, he's looking at a recovery timetable of about 4 to 6 months, and that's from the time that he had the surgery last month. So you would expect him to be ready by training camp, but missing OTAs, missing minicamp, all of that. For Luke Schoonmaker, it doesn't seem as serious of a surgery, but at the same time, I don't think they're going to rush him back out onto the field until training camp either. So you're looking at Schoonmaker back-to-back seasons where he's missing OTAs and minicamp. You take that for how you will, but I think that'll certainly be a key point whenever he is able to get to Oxnard and touch the field.
Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com. I've been calling this a Cowboys rebuild. It's like their version of it. You know, I never think they'll go all out, but adding everything up, I just feel like they're going to try to win on the fly, but they're not that committed to trying to win. It seems like they're more trying to get their cap in order while still being pretty decent. What do you think?
I think there is a commitment to winning, but they've kind of put themselves in a situation where they have to win in a different way in 2024. And, you know, how successful they end up doing that, that'll be the questions they'll have to answer whenever that season does end, whenever that final conclusion does happen, whether it's a disappointing loss to Green Bay in the wild card round or something worse or something better. I think there was an expectation whenever you talk to people around the building, there was an expectation leading into this free agency period, leading into this league year, that this was going to be what the picture looked like. You know, whether people outside see it to be positive or negative, that's what they expected, and that was part of their strategy moving forward. Again, we'll see how successful that is probably a year from now, but there is a lot of trust in the youth on this team. I'm not sure I have it, but, you know, the people in the building that know a lot more than I do. So we'll see as time goes on, but it's going to really rely upon those young guys to be able to step up and help the guys like Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, et cetera.
Is there anybody left in free agency that you think could help this team and the Cowboys could sign?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of defensive tackles that, you know, fit the mold. Probably won't throw any names out, but I think there's, you go look at 330-plus pound guys, there's a couple of them that are out there, you know, and there's an opportunity to still go grab one of those guys. Talking about a veteran running back, if they feel like they're going to need competition in that room, whether they draft a running back or not, there's still an opportunity to do that. Chuma Edoga is still out on the board as far as a depth offensive lineman. If they don't grab him, I mean, there's still an opportunity to get another depth guy. I think that would be necessary. So I don't think they're done. I think it's just going to be a wait-and-see game from here on out, obviously, because they don't have a lot of pennies to spare.
We doing Blue Star Special, second-round pick, running back, ACL, Jonathan Brooks out of Texas.
Yeah, that's that is the Blue Star Special, right? it's funny because every day that passes, it just starts to make more and more sense for that to be the pick. But for me, he's gonna have to be there at 58, which I think, you know, if every team does the medicals and understands where he's at medically, I think there's an expectation that he might be able to go before that. But, you know, draft day's weird. We'll see how as time goes on.
Were there any other fun draft rumors? I mean, is Washington about to take J.J. McCarthy second overall?
Man, this is just my opinion on that. I think it's a smokescreen. You know, I don't know why, but I'm just not really buying it. I mean, they've been tied to Jaden Daniels and Drake May so much over the course of the last couple of months. But as you look more so in recent weeks, it's starting to really focus in on Jaden Daniels. And I wonder if this is just kind of a smokescreen towards the other teams that are thinking about trading up into that top five to be able to grab a quarterback. But I guess we'll see on draft day. Again, things could get wild.
Anything else about this team before we let you go, Nick?
Yeah, not too much. I think moving forward, it's draft season. 30 visits will happen here in a couple of weeks. They'll bring in 30 of the college prospects that they want to talk to and meet with more in person. And then a couple of days before that, they'll be able to bring in a lot of local prospects from TCU, SMU, North Texas, and the local hometowns as well. Guys like Byron Murphy will be able to come by, which will be a huge benefit to the team. So full steam ahead towards this draft process. We're about 29, 30 days away from the draft. It's going to be fun stuff.
Loving your coverage, man. Keep it up and have yourself a hell of an afternoon down there.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great one.
There he goes, Nick Harris, live in Orlando, site of the owners' meetings with his ear to the street and the beat. Okay, we got, looks like a 340 rim sesh coming up next, Chief. Got some hoop talk?
Yes, sir. Among other things, if you could add a former Mav not named Dirk to this current Mavericks team, who would it be? 877-881-1053. That's next year in the nation.
Sounds like a plan. All right, coming up at 4 o'clock, we got the C-Note. Cowboys news of the evening is on the way. Here's Chief with some of that good hoop talk.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out, put the kids to bed. The G-Bag Nation's going all 56 around the rim. It's always a special occasion when the Mavs are on the heels of a victory and now have an opportunity to play themselves out of the play-in. That is what is sort of at stake here over these next two games versus Sacramento. Big two games here, Dallas in Sacramento. Tonight, both teams coming off a game, so it'll be the second night of a back-to-back for both of these teams. Dallas 8-2 in their last 10. Sacramento 7-3 in their last 10. The Mavs lost the first couple of games this season versus the Kings, but this is a new-look Mavs team.
Yeah, it is.
And Kyrie was out. Grant and Hardy started, and even Holmes and Curry got minutes in the last game versus the Kings. So
Curry?
This is definitely Rashawn Holmes. Yeah, this is a new-look Mavs team, and it'll be interesting to see how they go toe-to-toe with the Kings tonight, but they are neck and neck right there, playoff seeding, the sixth seed and the seventh seed. So these next two games will go a long way in determining whether or not the Mavericks can avoid the play-in. But with this being such a new-look Mavs team, I'm curious where you guys are at, because I think we've had the same answer for a while, and I think that answer was Tyson Chandler. If you could have any non-Dirk former Mav put on this current Mavs team right now, what would it be? Because with the way Gafford and Lively are playing, I don't think the Tyson Chandler need is quite there. I would love to have Tyson Chandler.
Not needed. What is needed?
What is it?
Is Sean Marion.
That's the Matrix.
Give me the Matrix. I need a guy that can be a ball stopper. Can go ahead and guard. He's got length. He can also give me a three ball every once in a while. The leadership ability as well. Sure. Been there, done that. I'll take Sean Marion, the Matrix.
Great pick.
No, absolutely. This guy was at one time was in the running for Defensive Player of the Year.
Hell yeah.
Talk about steals and tenacity and the way he played.
And I miss watching those free throws.
Yeah,
I like that.
Do you miss that the entire
the push shot?
The entire shot. Yeah. It's probably the most interesting in the history of
kind
basketball.
Kind of nostalgic for me looking back on it.
Yeah, I mean, it went in. Very often it went in. I think Sean Marion was the one seed for me as well. Many of the texters, 214, if Sean Marion was on this team, they would win 60 games.
Yeah.
940, the Matrix. You got 214, Sean Marion, no question. 972, Marion. 903, Marion. Everybody wants Sean Marion. I've seen some Michael Finley and Jason the Jet Terry as well.
Oh.
The Jet is on the runway.
We're getting some great picks in here, and either one of those three gentlemen would be fantastic, but the third best Mav of all time is not either of those gentlemen. That'd be Jason Kidd, the head coach.
Jason Kidd.
Okay, nobody's texted in Jason Kidd. We've gotten some Steve Nash love.
Yeah. Okay, Jason Kidd would be
another ball handler.
Kidd
no
was
D.
the second one I was thinking behind.
That's also a good defensive guard.
Yeah, certainly.
Yes. Yep. And by the end, he had his three ball dropping. I just think the passing, the overall skill set of Jason Kidd, I can either trade Kyrie Irving this summer or I'll figure out a way to get all those three guys on the court with a big man and just run it.
Yes. You know? Okay, what about the LeBron stopper himself?
Oh, we got to have a Barea.
J.J. Barea?
He at least needs his name thrown in the hat there. I appreciate that.
I mean, you'd feel a little bit better if you wanted to sit Kyrie and Luka. At least you know Barea's got a handle on this offense.
Lockdown defender, especially in the post versus the game's best player. So I think there's a role for that guy on every single team. So good on you for throwing that
out there. Somebody did text in as well, and this was a name that I guess, because of injury, it didn't pop into my head. But damn, talent-wise in his prime, Caron Butler would be a pretty sexy ad.
Caron Butler.
That would be great.
Yeah, getting some love here, man. Eddie Nahara, need that scrappy D.
Eddie.
Says the 254. Jason the Jet Terry. Yeah, the upgrade. Good call, 214. The upgrade. Just imagine all the THJ minutes are now Jason the Jet Terry minutes.
Oh, that would be exceptional.
I'm in on that.
There's just a, consistent,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, I do want great defense out of this player, you know?
And that's
the
thing.
Yeah, and I do love Jet, and I think he was a huge part of a championship team. I think there's a lot of players in history that you add that it could push him over the top.
All right, let's take out THJ. Let's sub him with Deshaun Stevenson.
Ooh, a little attitude. I mean,
because that's defense and, three. That's 3-and-D right there.
That's what I was thinking with like Sean Marion, because because you need the defense for sure, which is why you're like, Jet, I love you, I want you, but I don't know, I need some more defense, but I also need that three ball.
Yes.
With the way the Mavs are shooting the three ball right now, it's like, who can do a little bit of both? I do think that is Sean Marion, but Deshaun Stevenson.
I mean, Sean Marion, you know, better absolutely. Overall player, but Stevenson Rob knew City. His role.
How about a prime Dennis Rodman? That'd be awesome.
I was thinking about that. A clean Roy Tarpley would be good, too.
Yeah, clean Roy Tarpley.
I mean, that's a six-man of the year guy. I mean,
you don't want dirty Roy.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
You really don't. You would want good attitude Mark Aguirre, you know, if you wanted to go way back. Yep. Of course, a Harp. Harp was a badass. Harp could push this team over the top.
You're talking about Renato Blackman?
Blackman.
Getting texted in a ton.
Yeah.
Monte Ellis actually getting a little bit of love here.
Prime Page is getting some love.
Yeah, Page. Yeah. Hey, if you need the three ball sharpshooter, that's your guy. And no one has aged better, by the way.
Page.
Fine wine, bro.
He looks good.
I'll never forget how he lit up the Lakers that day. What was he, 7-7 from three?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Marquise Daniels.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Roddy B.
Josh Howard. Josh Howard did get texting.
Hey, Josh Howard's getting a lot of love on the text.
There were a couple of years where he would be exactly what this team needs.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it sounds like we got a lot of good options, though.
But I think we'd all probably, if we had to pick between us, our core, we're going to go Sean Marion.
I would.
That's my number one.
That would be my guy.
Yeah, I think ultimately majority would rule there, even though the Jason Kidd suggestion is a very, very fair one. Jamal Mashburn. 817 says, give me Mashburn on this squad. 682, Mashburn, friend of the KNC Masterpiece as well, hitting them with some really solid interviews. So
he's a great player before his knee gave out on him.
No doubt about it, man. Someone said the custodian, Brian Cardinal, just for that, that clubhouse presence. Locker room guy, no question about it.
I mean, Dantley was a force. You know, you have a ton of good players throughout the history of this deal.
Detlef Schrempf's getting some love.
Okay, yes. Detlef Schrempf, total skilled player, big wing, you know, one of the first successful
Euros. More of a
shooter
than a defender, right?
I think so, yeah.
469.
Especially as he got older.
Yeah. 469 says Tony Romo.
Man, they would have pulled that off if they would have let him, and that would have been epic.
Yeah, that would have been.
It still ticks me off that they didn't. Okay, elsewhere around the association here, we have a handful of things. We're still laughing at at Jonte Porter and that story. That is crazy. If he was a bigger name, if he was a Shohei Ohtani level of name, this thing would be 24/7 talked about right now. This dude was actively betting the unders on his props and then exiting games intentionally early to lock in the fact that his unders were going to hit. So that is still the cream of the crop story going on in the league right now. The other one, too, to monitor in the West is the Warriors potentially missing the play-in, playing themselves out of the play-in, but not in the way we want the Mavericks to, playing themselves all the way out of the play-in in the sense that they don't get an opportunity at any postseason basketball. They're playing so poorly. And the Houston Rockets...
The Rockets are on a creeping tear. Up, dude. 9 wins in a row.
We're starting to creep up a little bit. Draymond Green says, I don't give an F about the Rockets, not thinking about them. Okay, if you say so. If you say so, Draymond Green. But that's going to be funny. You're going to be the laughing stock when Dylan Brooks and Ime Udoka and Freddie and the Van Vliets are dancing on
your
tombstone.
Shout out to Fred Van Vliet. That guy's a winner, man.
For the 2024 Warriors regular season.
That would be wild.
I hope that trio shows some dang respect to everybody that helped make that championship happen. They were freaking loaded. The NBA made new salary cap rules based on how much talent they stocked away onto that team, and they won championships. But the whole idea that Steph Curry was the greatest player in the game or even an MVP, I always thought was ridiculous. Two really, really good players, two really good offensive players. And when Klay was zooming, of course, he could play great defense. But it was the front office that managed to put so many damn good players on that team. And as soon as it became normal around them, they can barely make the playoffs. It's a shame the Mavs couldn't beat them 2 years ago. You know, That was their run. The only good 40 days they ever had again was, you know, somehow a buzzsaw that you just weren't good enough to get past. And Boston as well. I mean, looking back on that, is that a fluke? That's like a last dying breath of a champion, I think. And they just did that with pride and heart and still had some, you know, decent young players around them.
Yeah, it is really, really gosh dang disappointing. Devin Harris, Vince Carter getting some love here on the text, as well as our guy Sean Bradley, Eric Dampier. I think they're starting to troll us now a little bit, but I did
Lamar
want to
Odom, maybe.
Shout out to Devin Harris.
Van Exel was awesome.
Yeah.
Van Exel was fun.
And then last night you had the Boston Celtics surrendering a 30-point lead to the Atlanta Hawks, and they lost. At one point it was 68-38 with a few minutes remaining in the first half, and then they end up losing, does Boston, 120-118. And the 30-point comeback by the Hawks, that's the largest comeback in the NBA this season, largest comeback in team franchise history for the Hawks, sixth team since 1997 to come back from a 30-plus point deficit.
They still had 50 in the half, and you trim 30 off of it. That is amazing.
Dude. I mean, they took the lead. I mean, with 4 minutes to go in the first half, you're down 30, okay? And then with 9.5 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, you're now up one.
Wow.
So it wasn't even like they were still fighting the whole fourth quarter to take the lead. They took the lead with like 10 minutes to go in the game.
Wow. You're trimming a point and a half a minute for 20 minutes of game time.
My gosh, dude.
That's
Boston
be
Chokers.
Some sort of a record. Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Always a good rim sesh here most afternoons in the G-Bag Nation. We have the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. We will give you everything that is relevant here in the headlines with your football team next here in the nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.